Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hi, I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Each episode, comedians join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, broadcasting live from under a table amongst a pool of broken glass at Rail Steakhouse in New Jersey, it's Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, what's up?
When we opened at Rails with broken glasses everywhere, literally on the train tracks, I was like, I don't care how toxic this shit is, I'm so glad it's back.
Yeah, the Real Housewives drought is over. New Jersey is back. We are here today to recap it. Before we dive into that, first of all, a huge thank you to everyone who came to our show on Friday. We had the best time. First of all, it was very cool that we sold out that show. That's a big deal, actually, because, you know, I think that we were just kind of like, oh yeah, we're doing Netflix as a joke. And then now that the festival has started here in LA, it is such a big deal, and there's all these things happening. And like, it's really cool that we had a sold out show at this festival. So thank you everyone so much for coming out. And we know we changed it up by doing a House Hunters episode, and you guys were a great audience. We had so much fun with that. So thanks again. And congrats also to Katie Cazorla, who opened up the Kookaburra Lounge. That was her opening night of her brand, Katie and Walter, their brand new lounge there. So it was such a fun time. So thanks again to everyone. And then we have some live shows later this month in Europe. We have, we're doing London, Dublin, and Birmingham. Links are on our website. London sold out, actually. So London is sold out, which, again, thank you for that, too. That's awesome. And that's also part of a podcast festival, apparently. But Dublin and Birmingham are available. So go check those out. Also, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can listen to our bonus episodes and watch us on video with Crappens on Demand, and also join the Discord community. So thanks everyone for like a really great weekend, basically. Thank you.
Yeah,
and Ronnie, it was so good to see you. I always love
it. It was so
fun.
I found a house there that I'm trying to like move into, so wish me luck, because good lord. Okay, I'm so excited. It was so great to be there and be part of that festival and see everybody. And like, people came with shirts, like those glitter shirts with our faces that Shannon and Natalia came in, were amazing.
Yep.
We also saw, it was just classic. Great. We're filled with gratitude today, you guys.
Yeah, soup's gratitude. We saw also a classic Ben in the Streets, Ronnie in the Sheets t-shirt up there in the front row. So lots of we felt the love. We felt the love at Netflix as a joke. It's more like Netflix is a love fest.
You know what? It should be called Netflix is not a joke, because we felt things. We felt things.
We felt also, man, we can really talk our fucking heads off. We were like, let's do like a House Hunters. It'll be shorter for a comedy festival. You don't want to keep people there all night. Are we going to have enough to fill it with the house? We went an hour and a half on a House Hunters. I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. How many naked jokes can you make? An hour and a half, wall-to-wall worth, okay? And by the way, that's going to be released on our Wondery Plus feed, because that is an episode of Dwell Hello this week, yes. My little friends.
It's wild. That's a 22, that's 22 minutes of airtime that we turned into a 90-minute show.
Yeah.
But honestly, everyone was awesome and laughed, and, you know, it was good vibes. So today, speaking of good vibes, New Jersey, home of the best vibes of all on Bravo. So it looks like we're setting up for another vicious season of this show, but it is so fun. Like you said, the fact that we started at Rails Steakhouse and there's broken glass, we just knew we were setting up for more messiness in New Jersey.
Yeah, but who? And you know, it turns out by the end of this little clip, It's everybody. Literally, yeah. Everybody hates each other. Everybody has just gone toxic as hell. You know, all the backstage stuff, all the blogger drama that I guess is going to be coming out during this. You got Melissa Bowles and Rosanna Eardrums. And, you know, whatever all the bloggers' names are who are messed up in this, they're all messed up in it. And everybody's, you know, throwing their blogger weapons around. It's fun and nerve-wracking. It's fun, yeah. And nerve-wracking, honestly.
And it's also like watching this show, you know, I feel like I say a lot that Miami has a really deep roster, which is why it's so good. I mean, you have an amazing cast, but then you also have like these amazing friends of. And I think Miami has the deepest and best roster on Bravo currently, but New Jersey has a real like world to it, right? Like all the husbands are like are unique characters, and then you have Jen Fessler, who's such a friend of that. It feels like she's a real housewife, but she's still not. She's not a housewife. She's still a friend of, I think, and she's like almost like the focus of this entire episode in some ways. And then you have Jackie, and we know Jackie and Margaret are going to have a big fight. So like this, Jersey also has a deep roster, and I feel like Jersey deserves more credit than it gets.
Yeah, I think it gets decent credit. I was reading the ratings Bravo account on Twitter, and I think they're like the second. They're in second place, wow, as far as ratings go for, you know, entire seasons. So people do watch, you know.
Yeah.
It's just we, Bravo audience, you can never tell because we complain so much about everything. You can't tell what people really like and what they're really watching. Some of the most popular things. I would have thought that Salt Lake City got way up there because it had such a controversial season. But no, it's still, you know, like fourth or fifth place amongst all of them. So you it's never really know.
It's harder for the newer franchises because even though some of the newer franchises are amazing, a lot of times people are kind of like legacy viewers, not Roni, but like in the sense that they started watching this show 9 years ago and they just keep, it's just like one of their shows. And they say, I'm watching already so many shows. I'm already watching Baby Moose or whatever. And I'm going to like now, I don't have time to take on freaking Salt Lake City. I hear it's good, but my roster is full. I'm saying roster a lot, but like everyone has a roster.
You're horny because that's on Bravo. That means the people you're going to fuck. I'm going to add them to my roster. It's like, I mean, I guess it's like a real life thing. I only know it from Bravo really because gay people don't have rosters. We just like have people we fuck.
Just
I don't know that we like organize them that way. You know, you really don't even understand how many it is until we're all at a Whole Foods at one time. And you're like, oh my God, we're all in the tortilla section at the same time. This is awkward.
But the point is that most people are not as willing to just take on every single housewife the way we are. And so people just sort of have the ones that they decide they're going to watch, and they'll be like, I've heard about that other one. Seems nice. Not going to watch it. But New Jersey's been around so long that it has gathered its core in a way that Salt Lake City still has.
Yeah, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. So we're at Rails. And Rails, you know, Rails. I feel like every season we go, why aren't we shooting this at Rails? Because literally every scene on this show should be shot at Rails, especially the kids packing for college. I feel like
they're just going to Rails University. It's like Gabriella's going to have a dorm room down in the wine cellar.
They're going to busboy camp at Rails. But yeah, we're at Rails. It's just depressing as fuck as at Rails. And they have like their own person to just come out and sweep at Rails. Yeah. Because you know that people are always throwing glasses and shit at Rails. It's just that kind of place. The walls are rubber, you know?
Yeah. This is nothing for Rails. Rails is used to this. So we do see all this glass. And we see Dolores sitting alone at a table. Amongst the glass, she's like, you know what? There may have been a fight. There may be glass everywhere. But I made a promise to this restaurant that I would eat the rest of my meal. So I will stay here. She's the only one who decided not to leave.
She's like, you know what? Nothing comes between me and rigatoni.
Rigatoni is actually, it's actually a friend of mine.
Tony, it's actually two of them. There's rigatoni and rigatoni. The sisters. So they're like, Dolores, we want you to sit alone at Rails and look furious at a table for 40, but it's only you.
Yes.
And she's like, okay. And they're like, Dolores, could you please look more furious? So this whole opening is just Dolores sitting at a table for 40, just like sucking her cheeks in, barely, like kind of staring ahead in Dolores' face, like,
Very disappointed. And the producer,
very angry and very disappointed, both.
The producer also asked the most ridiculous question. How did it ever come to this? It's the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Someone asked for garlic bread. That's how it came. That's all it took.
Could you please pass the garlic bread? Oh, yeah, you want the garlic bread? How about this? How about you take some shut the fuck up the way I don't want to ever talk to you ever before, Mike? Like, you don't mean anything to me. Yeah, you use dildos.
You don't use dildos.
I use dildos. I love dildos.
And then just like table flips.
I love that dildos are actually a part of this storyline already. It's so funny.
Also, so by the way, I just want to say, sorry. I love when Teresa starts the season with hot gossip. She wants to like get onto the on-ramp, you know, like of the highway of the season, like the time when she walked around Evan's birthday party and told everyone,
I hear that Evan having sex in the showers, pass it on.
Like she's so clunky about it. And now she's doing the dildo thing. She is like, if we're going to do the metaphor of like that, there's a highway of gossip and she's trying to get something on the on-ramp. She is like freaking Dukes of Hazzard going up that on-ramp and like the cars like jumped up the on-ramp and over a truck onto the highway and landed in a bush.
It's like the Dukes of Hazzard of like on-ramping, just jumping over cars, you know. First of all, a couple of things. It's so hypocritical because the whole last season, or was it the season before? I don't know. The one where they yelled at each other a lot. So it was that one where Marge was in trouble because she brought up stuff and she was bringing it up because it was on the internet. And she's like, I just want you to get in front of this, you know, get ahead of it, because they're talking about Louis going to the camp about, you know, I beat my wife, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm just being a friend. She's like, how can you talk about what was on the internet? And then you have this one where Teresa is justifying everything she's doing because it was on social media first.
It's all over social media. At the moment she said that, I was like, you fucking bitch. We had to sit here through 2 years of a fight about Louis' video on Instagram that you defended to the death. And now here you are doing all that.
But of course they did it to her. So now it's opened the floodgates, I guess. If you asked her, she'd probably be,
they did it for me. What's good for the goose today is good for the giraffe. And that's what I'm going to say about it.
Also, Teresa's looking crazy these days. Can we just say this? It looks like her whole body is on a roller coaster, but the lips stayed behind. It's like, they are, the lips are still at the gate waiting for the next cart to go, but everything else is like, psh, it's good. Like, what is happening there?
I think Teresa is morphing every season into just what she's going to be. You know what I mean? It's like, it just looks like nature. I mean, it's like the most unnatural thing. But it really does look just like nature. I don't know how to explain it. Like, none of it surprises me. It's like you see it coming, you know? Is it sad? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But it just looks like Teresa to me. Everyone's talking about it, and especially in this preview, because at one point they're fighting, and Rachel Fuda's like, oh, yeah, why don't you shut up with your hot dog lips? And I was like, that's actually not terrible. Like, it's not terrible.
It was pretty accurate.
It was pretty accurate.
And delicious.
But at the same time, I'm like, but they've always looked like that, haven't they? Like, for whatever she's doing looks totally natural.
Like,
and I will say the same thing for Kyle Richards. She looks fucking insane right now. And I'm like, I think it's normal. Like, it looks great. Great job, guys.
It's just, there's something about Teresa's face where there's like a combination of her pulling her skin back, but making her lips bigger that makes it look like her face is going in two different, like the lips are coming towards you, but the face is going away from you. And it's just, it is fascinating. It is like an optical illusion. It's like a study in perspective or something. I don't know. Listen, I generally don't like to comment on the way people look. But again, if they do it to themselves, I feel like it's fair game, right? Like if I had a bad haircut, I'm sure people would say something. And I don't have to take it.
Yeah, because I feel like at this point, you're not commenting on looks, right? I feel like we're commenting on work.
Yeah, we're commenting on artistry.
Because it is an artistry. And I'm at the age now where I get it done. I mean, I haven't had the surgery stuff done yet, but literally only because we do this every day and I can't. I mean, I will Siggy Flicker it one day and just show up here in a huge bandage. I have a friend who did it. He got some wattle surgery and he got some eye surgery, the hood surgery on the eye. So I will be getting that stuff done. I'm trying to save up money. I'm probably going to have a GoFundMe for it.
I don't want you to have a Britney frown though.
I want it. I want to look crazy.
Yikes. I'm frowning during the whole size. By the way, this is
support art. I feel like this is modern art, facial stuff, facial surgery. And like, you have to find the right artist. You got to do your research and they have to really believe in you and believe in what they're doing. And they have to see your face in the future. And like, there's so much art to it. And I support arts.
If there's anyone who supports the arts, it's Ronnie Karam. I just have to say, just off topic, that I spent all day yesterday sewing. And the funniest thing is that I discovered that my sewing machine, my brother's sewing machine, sounds like Britney. If you go at a certain speed, it goes, J-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A-Y-A- I'll put up a recording of it, and you'll see I'm actually not lying at all.
You better make me feel pretty. You better make me feel pretty. I just want to feel pretty.
Don't forget your back sandwich.
Okay, so we see this, all these little scenes of the friendships, like the stance of the friendships. Where is everybody right now? We see a little clip of Jen going, "All right, I'm ready to die for you, Teresa." And Teresa's saying, "I'm ready to die for you, tools." And she's like, "But I don't feel it. I don't feel it, baby."
And then Jen Fessler says to Jennifer Aiden, "So how's Teresa handling you becoming friends, Melissa, huh?" Jennifer Fessler's voice is just getting, like, I don't know. She's I don't know what's going on. It's dropped a few notes, okay? Like, a few keys or whatever. Like, she definitely, like, took on some Marlboros.
I'll tell you what hasn't calmed down, those eyes. The Jennifer Fessler eyes are very, very intense. I thought there might be some kind of little party, but did I know it was going to be my entire family? Roseanne, Rosanna, Carlotta, Carzoni, everybody? The twins? It's insane.
And then Jennifer Aiden's talking to Jackie, and she goes, "You need the support of your friends right now, baby!" And then Teresa's talking to Jackie and saying,
"Yeah, we'll show you what real friends are like." A ding, blink, 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 blink.
This exodus of Jackie from one camp into the other is shocking. I cannot believe it. We're seeing it right at the beginning. We're seeing it right at the top. And it is nuts to see Teresa being like, "We'll show you what real friends is like, did it?" And then Danielle is talking to Rachel. And Danielle's like, she's like, "I would stay 10 feet away from anyone that would ever hurt you." And Jen's like, "That just changed everything for me." Wait, I don't know what's happening here.
No. Rachel said everything just, that just changed everything for me. So now we see Dolores with Margaret, and Dolores is like, "You fucking lying cut fitness."
You know what? That's enough. That's enough.
I'm like,
a truthful cut fitness.
Can we just maybe call me a fucking lying, bitch? I mean, do we really need to go with the C word? That's insane.
Listen, we're not going to talk about the C word, but we are going to talk about getting Joe a new Seafoam shirt. Okay, by the way, I was so proud of Joe on the premiere wearing his Seafoam polo. You know, I was like, it's just good that he's a man of consistency.
So the producer's like, "Dolores, how did the sit down go? In one word." And she's like, "Salami." No, Dolores. It couldn't have gone like salami. One word, Dolores. How did the sit down go? Pepperoni. No, Dolores. Come on. Why are you just naming food? All right. Bread lizard. Okay, that's two words. Right. And you can't just name animals made out of bread that you've used at every party that you've ever thrown.
All right. Okay. How did everything go on Woodward? Here it goes. Cookies. Ma, come on. It's my interview. Get out of here.
Valerie, how did it go? How did the sit down with Dolores and her friends go?
Cookies.
Could have been better.
Cookie omelet.
So, effect of videotape being rewound. And it's dinner earlier that night. And Rachel's yelling at Teresa, "Keep my husband's name out of your fucking fat hot dog lipped mouth."
Blitz breaking. And then Melissa saying, "They learn from the best white trash." And Jan is like, "She's a hedge." And Danielle's saying, "Fucking disgusted. Yeah, she didn't fucking lie to you, mama."
And it's just all of them, you know, doing the typical Jersey thing. "You animal, give me an animal. I'm an animal, you're
such an
animal. You wouldn't even fit in the zoo. You're such a big animal."
"I don't talk to people like you. You're disgusting."
"Yeah, and then disgust. You're a snake."
"Oh yeah, well, they have snakes in the zoo." What's that about? "We're talking about animals, stupid." "You are. What do you mean? Fuck you, hot dog lips."
I just love this show. None of it makes any sense. The ladies are just hurling the worst shit possible at each other.
Are we talking about animals or focaccia shaped like animals? I need to know before I proceed.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The screen kind of just like slowly horizontally goes black. It's like it's almost like the TV show is falling asleep. it's like someone's eyelids are slowly closing. And then we go to 3 months earlier. And so now we sort of see what's going on in everyone's houses. So Melissa is telling Antonia like that there's only 3 weeks till she leaves for college. She needs to start organizing. And then the dog pees on the curtain. The dog is like, this is my review of your new house.
Yeah. So this house was a lot of trouble, right? So they put up this house and then it was panned universally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this was showing up on sites where people didn't even watch Housewives.
It was an architectural indigestible.
Yeah. It was all over the place about how ugly it was, how the windows weren't even the same size, how the roofline didn't work. And they just kind of did the farmhouse gut of a house and then just painted it black and white and called it a day. And it was so universally panned that they went back and redid the redo and gave it a new roof, I think some new windows. So good for them. Now your house better. Officially looks, it does look a lot better. And it looks like, you know, every other house that they're building right now.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Congratulations. You made it generic. So
congratulations on your new base model, which it took you 3 iterations to get something, you know, from Up and Up, basically.
Yeah, congrats.
Is it Up and Up, the Target brand? That's yes. Up and Up, right?
Yes. I think, though, for the Gorgas, it's more like sideways and sideways. So they, I love that they like made this whole giant mansion for themselves just as their kids are starting to move out. So then we see Marge and Melina are assembling a new duvet.
Marlene, how dare you? Her name is Marlene.
Marlene.
What is the days of our lives? What is possessed by Satan? What does John Black have to become a preacher to save you from Stefano Satan?
Marla Gibbs. So she's saying, Margaret's saying, you know, she likes that the duvet is fluffy. Just like Joe. Joe is fluffy. I like my men fluffy. You should know that, Marlene.
I wonder which one of these would design the living room more quickly. This blanket of Joe. You know what? Honestly, my money's on the blanket. That's it.
And now we go over to Danielle, and her daughter is like dancing around and everything. And Nate has like one of those like dollar guns. There's like fake money. So he's shooting it off and everything. And he's laughing about how he used to be called the money man when he was in his 20s. I was like, that's funny and all, but you know, you're basically cosplaying. You're basically cosplaying. Sexy times throwing money at your daughter, just so you know.
I know. I was like, wow, they've already gone to a party at Melissa's and stolen something. Classy family. So then Danielle and her Rachel and her family are getting ready for a barbecue. And who's coming? It's going to be family night over here. So Rachel's family comes in, you know, and her sister-in-law does that thing where she walks with her purse on her wrist, like holding her wrist up. And then she comes around the corner and she sees the kids and she goes, "Who is that?" I don't like when people do that to that kids. Thing. You know, like, who is that? Who's there? Who is it? It's
like, do we answer this question? Is it a rhetorical or am I really supposed to answer? Because I'm young enough that I should start to be able to form together thoughts.
This is why kids think adults are idiots, you know, because adults literally act like idiots around kids. Because I don't know, do they think they're going to scare them with our intelligence? I mean, what is it? But adults act like fucking morons. Every time they see a kid, they're like, "Who like cookie? Who like cookie?" Did you forgot English? Like, why are you talking like that just because it's a kid?
I know. I feel like kids actually respond very well when they're talked to like adults sometimes. Because I remember one time I was in an elevator with my friend's toddler. The kid was like 2.5 or whatever. And the kid was just like crying in the elevator. And it was in my building. And I just looked at this girl and I said, "Honestly, you've got to like get it together because you're in a public space now. You're in an elevator. People are going to walk in here and see you crying. And it's just like not a good look." And she just like stopped crying and looked at me like, "Wait, what?" I'm not sure she really understood me, but I think she understood my tone, which is like, "Girl, no."
You said that to a kid in an elevator? You're lucky.
Well, it was my friend's kid. It was my friend's kid. Oh. It wasn't just a stranger. Oh. I would love to do it to a stranger. Don't get me wrong.
Close the air, you little loser.
Could you imagine? I mean, you can't even do that to a stranger who's an adult. But like, do it to a kid, that'd be hilarious. Be like, "Girl, you're doing the most right now." I don't even say that. But what I was gonna say is that, like, how angry was Teresa that this season began with a Rachel Fuda family scene?
Well, I think everyone's probably pissed at knowing that this is a Fuda-centric season. I mean, that's crazy. I don't feel like they've earned it. They just got here. Why is this show now centered around the Fudas of all people? And then, I mean, I like that their name has okay Fuda in it. I'm okay with it.
Here's why I'm okay with it. Because a lot of people complain, like, "Oh my God, Teresa and Melissa again. It's always Teresa and Melissa, Teresa and Melissa." And then the moment that, like, they try to change it up and be like, "Okay, we'll focus on the new people." Everyone's like, "What? What about Teresa and Melissa?"
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it has to be Teresa and Melissa. I was just like, I didn't know that this was the Rachel. I mean, I thought Rachel did okay. I thought they were okay last year. I thought it was a decent season, but I wasn't like, "Oh my God, best casting of the year, the Fudas," you know? I was like, maybe they'll do good after like season 3 or 4. But then this season, it's like, it's the Fuda family up front and center. I don't know that that was earned. And also, look what happens, because look at how John Fuda's already acting. He's like the new housewife on the show. Like, today, we'll get into it, but he released a statement today that is just glorious. So maybe it was good casting after all. I don't know, but my first feeling on seeing that they were the main center of the season, I was like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I was sort of like, I'm surprised, but I actually feel like Rachel Fuda is, I think she's doing a good job so far this season. She's a little bit more like, "Okay, I've earned a spot here on this cast, and I'm going to like lean into it." So I was happy, but I do think it was really John Fuda. John Fuda is really, like, his last season, he was just, like, quiet and sitting in the corner being like, "You know, what can you do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" But now this season, he's like, "Are you going to let me finish? Are you going to let me finish? Okay, you got to let me speak. You got to let me speak." Every single season.
He also, and he has no problem fighting with the housewife. And he also did the second season, Bitch Flower Blooms Glow Up, which is major surgery. He came back with a different body, a different face. He came back with different teeth.
By the way, congratulations to the teeth industry that is funding this show. Because I think there were like four new sets of teeth on this cast.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they haven't found anyone who knows how to measure them properly.
Unfortunately, they're going to Danielle Staub's boob doctor in the strip mall.
It's like going, do they have any like things that you put your foot on in the foot locker here? Or do you just like guesstimate and just walk around with shoes half falling off your feet?
I mean, at this point, honestly, like if any of them get any olives stuck between their teeth, Tom Hanks is going to come out and try to like dance, you know, heart and soul on their mouths, because they literally look like they have oversized olives. F.A.O. Schwartz piano keys in their mouths.
I don't think you can go between these teeth. I think these are teeth that are just like C's. You know, they're in the shape of C's, and you just put it in there.
They're just walls of white. They're like, it's like the Muppet, the band leader in the Muppet, Dr. Something Another. Just like, it's just a, it, you know, it literally looks like you're going on a guided tour of Santorini when they smile.
Haven't been to Santorini, so I don't know yet. Maybe one day. Maybe
for the Santorini heads, they'll get that joke.
The Santorini
heads. It was a really good one, and I'm like, wow. Wow, Ronnie.
It was wasted on me. So I had to admit that I didn't know what you were talking about. Because I know people are like, God, Ronnie, being so unsupportive. The Santorini heads are going to like get up on me. I'm going to get Santorini botted.
They have teeth like Santorini. Okay.
So Rachel's family shows up and she's like, there's always so much going on in the Fuda household. Jaden's like a mini man. Gigi just turned 3. Juliana's grown. I'm bored. Please stop listing your children and what they're doing. Like, I literally don't care. Please just keep them as little stick figures on the minivan until they're old enough to vote. Thank you.
Yeah. I really hate when people are just like, oh my God, this household is so busy. My child has homework. My other child is starting to talk more. I'm like, that's... No, it is busy. It is busy, but it's not interesting busy. But to me, like, interesting busy is like, oh my God, our house is so busy. The FBI had to perform a stakeout here because it turns out our neighbors are part of some sort of exotic animal ring. It is hectic in here. I'm like, now that's the busy.
Or like, tell me what's really going on. Like, my husband just got his tummy tuck. I mean, he literally pus didn't stop coming out the sides of him until about 5 minutes ago. He got new teeth. I mean, I've had to mush up his fucking bananas for him. You know, that's been really fun. We've been doing laser on his back and his armpits. He can barely move. Like, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the real pain. I don't want to hear like, here's how old my child is. Or, like, your husband literally got a full body implant. Can we talk to him? Like, I want to hear what happened. I want the same thing. He looks great.
Or I want like relatable busy, which is like, oh, it's so busy in here. I just bought 5 sets of bowls from Amazon and I'm going to compare them all and decide which is the one that I'm going to keep. And then I have to send all the rest of them back, which means I have to go to the UPS store or Whole Foods. It depends. I don't know what I'm going to do. But we got a lot of bowls, which means I got to cook a lot of things to use the bowls. So it's really busy around here. I'd be like, oh my God. You deserve a break. You deserve a bubble bath. I get that.
Well, that is your current storyline. So of course you like
that's
that.
That's my storyline.
Except with suitcases. That is your storyline.
I settled on one. We had American Idol of suitcases over the weekend and my friend Judy came over. It was actually backpacks for my personal item to go under the seat. And we have decided on one to keep and the others are going back.
Yeah, as you see, there you go.
It's really exciting.
So busy around here. So the parents have moved an hour and a half away, you know, like take a hint is what I say. And she's like, but Nona will literally freak if I don't have these meals. Because then she calls and this is Nona freaking. She goes, Rachel, I haven't seen the girls. How are they? Like, that's Nona freaking. I think you'll survive.
I think that's her pre-freaking. That's like the sign that she's about to freak out. Because, you know, Nona, when she really freaks out, it's like, you don't call. You don't message. I don't even see my kids. I'm 88. I could die any day now. And then that's going to be on you because you killed me. You're the one who killed me, Rachel.
So she's like, known the focaccia. Known the focaccia. I like that she just shortens everything. That's her thing this year. Hey, known the focaccia, huh? Why'd you buy so much focaccia, huh? My hubs is very skin now, okay? Come on, he can't eat all the focaccia. And she's like, let's eat kachi for a day. This is all good stuff. That's what you do. What, you're not going to eat the focaccia because you're thinning out? Yes, Nona, that's how it works. You get thin, you never fucking touch focaccia again. Because let me tell you, as someone who's constantly tried their whole life to get thin, you eat one piece of that shit, you don't stop thinking about it for 1 second for the next 5 months. Your body holds on to that tiny little bubble of focaccia and it's like, there's more of me somewhere. All you gotta do is call the Instacart. There's more of me. There's more. And before you know it, you're in a corner somewhere just injecting little tiny crumbs of focaccia straight into your veins, you know, until you're 500 fucking pounds known. Okay, get your fucking drugs out of here.
You know, I did hear that that's how Ed Koch was elected into office, was that a lot of people confused focaccia for an actual political endorsement. I'm focaccia.
Why wait in the bread line when you can be in the focaccia line? I'm focaccia.
I'm focaccia. Anyway, Santorini Ed Koch, you know, come to Rappins for all the good times. So
we're rolling them out all day over here. It's going to be a 30-hour recap of just complete fucking nonsense. We don't even know what we're saying. If you guys are looking at each other thinking, what the fuck are these guys saying? Am I missing something?
What the focaccia?
We don't know what we're talking about either. Okay, so
so everyone's
she asked her daughter. She's like, "Can you say focaccia?" And her kid's like, "Fucking focaccia." She's like, "Yeah, at a girl, she can say it."
So Noan was like, "So what have you been doing, Rachel?" She goes, "Well, Ma, Noan's, I should say, our plate's very full. Juliana, I mean, I don't know. They think she's got a tongue tie, and then they think a lip too, and everything's tied up in there. So she's having some speech problems. She can't even say focaccia. You know what she says instead?" Anti-cotch. It's terrible. And you know what? She's had like her feeding and stuff. So, you know, we're going to be on top of it.
Yeah. There's one little part where they talk about how the grandpa is teaching the kid to curse. And Nona's like, "You better keep your fucking mouth shut, Arthur. All right? Don't you curse around the kid." And then we see Rachel taking a video of the kid. And she's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" She's like, "Yeah, fucking chooch, the kid. Little fucking chooch."
So Rachel talks about how the kid has an actual tongue tie, like an actual piece of skin or tissue that's holding up her tongue, and so they'll check it out. So that's exciting for tongue tie enthusiasts. And then
I didn't know that was a thing. Like I thought it was like a saying, like "You're tongue tied. I'm tongue tied." I didn't know it was a real saying.
I feel like I have heard of it, but I didn't know it was actually referred to as actually tongue tied. Or maybe that's why. Maybe that's just how they told her. She's like, "What?" Like, "Well, she's got a case of periodontalitis. She goes, "What?" "She's tongue-tied." "Oh, okay, got it."
Mm-hmm. So she's going to throw a party for Jen Fessler. You know Jen. And Nona's like, "I know Jen." And she's like, "Yeah, well, we're going to throw her a birthday party." And, you know, Jeff wanted to invite all the girls because, you know, that's just how Jen is. You know, she doesn't want to leave people out. So I sent Teresa and Jennifer Aiden a text, you know, and she goes, "Nose job, Jennifer."
Which... By the way, Nona. That's Nona. Have you seen your granddaughter? I mean,
no kidding. I don't think this it's is like the house jump. To be throwing those stones in. Okay, you shouldn't throw stones when you live in a pointy cartilage tunnel.
Michael Jackson from the grave is like, "That's a lot." So, anyway, Rachel did reach out to she's reaching out to Jennifer, all sorts of people, and then she said that Teresa did answer, and that Teresa said thank you for the invite, and then said, "I know we had our issues and whatever, but I would like to invite you to Jen's party." Oh, I guess Rachel said that. Whatever. So she reached out to Teresa. Teresa said yes. Everyone's going.
Yeah, and Nona's like, "I'm already getting a knot in my stomach because you're eating fucking focaccia. Okay, get the shit out of my house." So Rachel's like, "I get that, but the party's not for John. It's not for me. It's not for my son or for my family. It's not in my home. So you know what, Noan? I'm going to have the pot. I'm going to do it somewhere else. I'm going to have it at Rails. You know, it was probably called Railways, but in this family, we call it Rails. And that's it. What are you going to do?"
She's so, like, her eyes are so wide open and blinking all the time. She's like sitting straight up like, "It's not for me. It's not for my children, Noan. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to have the party. That's what I'm going to do, Noan."
It's she definitely gives sometimes when she gets really like when she gets intense about something, she definitely gives like startled ostrich on like a Hallmark card, you know, like "Happy birthday." So she's like, "I'm not building a bridge. The sole reason I like reached out to Teresa at all was for the party. And that's it. I mean, like, her husband hired an investigator to investigate us. And I have no interest in being friends with people that do shit like that."
And so she's like, and John, what are you going to do when Louis comes up to you? What are you going to do, John?" And he's like, "I'm going to give him a nod. I'm going to give him one of these. Like, hey, like I'm at the Home Depot. Hey, how you doing?" I mean, not the Gorka. He's still not allowed in there from what I know. But anyone else. Maybe Home Depot wasn't the best thing to bring up right now. I'm already fighting with the guys.
And then the sister-in-law, Lisa, goes, or the mom, maybe, goes, "You don't get out much, do you?"
So we go over to Melissa's house, and they're packing for college. Squeak! Baby Jesus! And so the dog comes up, and he's peeing all over the curtains and stuff. And they're talking. Melissa goes, "I'm so excited to be in our new home. I literally handpicked every single thing in the house." We know, Melissa. My God. For once on one of these shows, I believe it. Okay. Yeah. Are there still the Muppet rope fixtures hanging
the black, like the black eyelashes, long eyelashes dangling from the chandelier? I hope not. So she's like basically telling Antonia to start packing, and she's like, what are you going to take? And Antonia's like, I'm taking everything to college. And she's like, but there's a dorm room doesn't have the space. And she goes, you know, Antonia's about to leave the house and go to the University of Delaware, but like, I don't know that my kids are ready to live without me. I'm like, I guarantee they have a very different perspective on this.
They've hated you for a long time. There are bags that have been packed under the house for like literally years. Antonia's just like, see ya, bitch.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Teresa's house. Oh, gosh. It's another kid packing for college. This time it's Gabriella. And Teresa's making her.
It sounds like a mosquito airline coming in for landing.
I had to admit to Auntie Yules, because a few weeks ago I kept crying. Like I was driving in the car and I kept thinking about you. Hold on, let me feel my eyes. I started to cry because I was like, oh my god, I forgot I had a daughter between Gia and Melania.
This is the most.
Like, I never had to cry for Gia because Gia was like 45 minutes away, right? But you're not gonna be 45 minutes away.
Yeah, Gabriella's going to University of Michigan, which is like a really good school. I don't know why I was surprised by it. I mean, Gabriella always was the one who seemed like she wanted to be rid of her family the most out of all these shows, out of all the kids on this show. So like, she's like, I'm just gonna do really. I'm going to do really well with my academics and get the hell out of this shithole that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, la, la. Where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
So then Adriana and Melania come into the room and they're, you know, just all so old. It's crazy seeing all the kids grown up. That's weird. It's kind of sad. And Teresa's like, yeah, Gia moved back and Louis still lives with us. And then next year you're going to leave. And then that other one, then we got you for another 4 years. Say I want a sandwich. Mom, please don't make me. Say it. I want a sandwich. That little one. Can't believe she's so old. She's like a little adult.
I know, she's 14, right? Isn't that wild? I mean, it's just, yeah. So pretty much the whole scene was just Teresa going, because she kept doing it over and over and over again. Yeah. So we go back to Melissa's house, and she's talking about dorm life and everything with the boys and also Joe and everything, and talking about moving, etc. And like, they give Antonia shower shoes for the dorms. You know, it's the typical sending the kid off to college storyline stuff that's going to go on for like 12 episodes. And this season, it's even worse because we got two kids going off to college.
Yeah, so it's that. And then she's like, oh, yeah, Joe, I mean, come on. It's your first time getting a kid to college. Oh, wait, I almost forgot you took Teresa's kid to college. She's still treating us like this, you know. And so then back at Teresa's house, it's dinner time. And Louis Jr. is there, who's totally a chip off the old block. He's like, what a wonderful dinner, Teresa. What a wonderful dinner. So if you could name this salad after your PIN number at Bank of America, what would you name it, huh? Huh?
Yeah. Well, you knew that Louis pulled over his son. He's like, hey, you want to know how to be a real man? The way you do, you're a real man, is you compliment your new stepmother and you do it on TV with the following lines. Okay, here is a printout. I'll put it under your plate. If you forget, just read them. So he's like, Teresa, another wonderful meal. I'm fed so well in this household. I don't even know how I'll be able to live outside of this household, and how lucky am I that I am now your son.
And don't forget the last line.
You're the best.
Nailed it, kid. Be a man. Be a man about it. Be a man.
Like the video on the beach.
Be a man. Come on, man. Say it. Be real about it, Louis. Be a man. Teresa, I love this lasagna. This, I would not be here without this fucking lasagna. I was no man before this lasagna, but I'm a man. Am I a perfect man? I'm not.
I don't feel it, brother. I don't feel it.
This food is so delicious. It'd be a shame if no one else ever got to taste it. Luckily, there are several cookbooks from Teresa Giudice available for purchase.
It's like, okay, all right, all right.
So we've gone from Teresa's wedding season to the next natural step, the book of pictures that Teresa got from her wedding season.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole season of Teresa going, I'm going to have a party because I got married. We're going to pass around a book of pictures. Don't it look like a magazine?
Yeah, guys, guess what I got in the mail? My wedding album.
Everyone's like, oh, great, thanks. Oh, so she makes the whole family look at all these photos, which are, you know, everyone's seen a million times on the internet, you know? So she's like,
yeah, I didn't even open it, guys. I wanted to open it in front of you guys.
They're like, great. Yay.
Gabriella's like looking at her watch, like the countdown to college. Five. So they open up the album. They're looking at the pics. And she's, oh, my God, that's one of my favorite pictures today. Babe, do you like it?
And he's like, oh, my God, look how beautiful you guys look. Look at that.
Gabrielle's like, wow, hey, guys, I have to go take the SATs.
Yeah, but you already got into college.
I know. It's just a voluntary activity to get out of this household. I'm just going to keep taking the SATs whenever I can.
And then we get the obligatory Teresa is the real victim in everything monologue, where she's like,
you know, I really feel that Louis is my soulmate, right? Because, like, for so long, I was mad at God. Because I didn't understand, like, why'd I have to be in jail? And then my mom died, and then I got a divorce, and my dad died. But I finally got my answer. I went through all this in order to see my soulmate in a magazine-like photo shoot that I just got in the mail the day that I waited for you to open.
Louis is the purple at the end of the tunnel. I don't know how I would feel about, like, you will go through all that just to get Louis. I feel like you go through all that to get Brad Pitt, not to get Louis.
Well, I know. It's like the road to hypertension. I don't think this is a good story, you know? Also, I think just being on this show gives people, like, a terrible blood pressure. Because did you notice that Dolores' man is now purple as well?
Maybe because now. He's wearing a shirt that's three sizes too small, to be fair. There's not a lot of circulation happening in there.
He came back the color of a varicose vein. What have we done to Polly?
This poor guy. Just give him a free-flowing shirt at this point. So yeah. Teresa's like,
now blending your family together, it's a dream. And Louis and I have created this beautiful family, and it feels amazing. Isn't everyone so happy?
You know, Gabriella's like, is it too early for me just to go to Michigan now? I could spend the summer in Detroit. I'll do anything. Let me get out of here, please.
So they start talking about how this party's going to come up and they're going to be seeing Melissa and Joe. And Louis's like, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts there, huh? And your brother and sister, oh, we're going to see him. And she goes,
yeah, follow my lead in there. I'm the boss there, right? Capiche? Capiche?
He's like, capiche. Be a man. Be a man.
So we go back to Melissa and Joe's, and Melissa's talking about the party and everything and how she loves Jen Fessler, but you know, everyone's going to be there. You know, your sister's going to be there. Jennifer Aiden's going to be there. He goes, yeah, who gives a shit? Do you give a shit? No, but it's just, it's so weird. Like, you know, you want to finish the sentence for me because I'm just trying to get you to say something about your sister. It's like, you know what? What I actually want is I would love for you to walk in the room and be like, hello.
There's a plan. She's like, yeah, but she literally said, like, I'm never going to see you again. And then she is going to see me. Because remember when she said that? And then we see the reunion where Teresa's like, well, I never have to see you again because you's going to be gone. But they did not fire Melissa after all. Which I think, you know, when we called this at that reunion, tactical mistake. Like, it could not just go on the way it was, guys. This is like another Bravo. You can't, if it's broken, fix it. Don't just keep being like, oh, let's just let it limp on. No, it's obviously broken, fix it. So I'm hoping that they don't have a season like Potomac or something like that where the same thing happened. Where people were like, okay, time to fix this show. And then you didn't do it. And now it's being taped together and just like bobbling down the hill.
Yeah, but they also can't set a precedent that if Teresa wants someone fired, then they get fired. Like, you can't just do that.
Oh, I don't say it should be Melissa who got fired. I just mean they can't bring the cast back in the exact same configuration. Something's got to give, you know, because now you're going to have a season of two camps.
Well,
two campses. Sorry.
There will be two campses.
My Jersey English needs some practice.
Hopefully it'll be better than what happened with Potomac. I mean, so far I thought the first episode was already pretty good. So so Joe's like, what are you going to get her? And she's like, I don't know. I'm going to get a gift, whatever. And then they're joking about like, why don't you get an autographed picture of, you know, James Gandolfini? Yeah, it'll be fun. Like, I don't think her husband's going to like that.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Welcome to Tenafly. Time to go visit Jen Fessler. So Jen is sitting on her couch trying to play Amazing Grace on her guitar. And it's cute. What's up with Jen Fessler? She's just like, I'm going to have a hobby. I've decided. It's hobby time. Jen Fessler hobby time. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I fuck James Gandolfini when his wife wasn't around. Does that rhyme? It does. It does.
So then Jeff comes in. He's like, oh, I thought I heard one of the cats screaming.
And then actually, his daughter did that. Have you ever seen her daughter before? I don't remember.
No,
ever seeing
her daughter comes in. I think her daughter is Rachel. And Jen's like, so, excuse me, Rachel, did you hear me? And she's like, yeah, I heard you, Ma. You're just like so, so bad.
It's just so bad.
Her daughter's 21. And already, I feel like she's been working in like an office steno pool, a smoky office steno pool for 30 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is the school around here next to the like pollution processing plant? Like, why do all of the kids, they're like, Ma, please stop with the guitar. You've got all Teresa's kids that are like, I'm so excited to go to college. Like, what is wrong with the kids here? Have they been smoking? Like, what's happening?
Never forget the time that they went on a little boat ride. And like Dolores was posing on the rails of the boat, and there was just like chemical refineries behind her. Like, that's just sort of the vibe of this show. So
yeah.
So Margaret pulls up as Jennifer Fessler is now attempting to do as the Saints go marching in, and she's like, as the Saints go marching in. I was like, thank God for Margaret putting us all out of our misery by showing up.
Yeah, she's like, hi, you know what, it's amazing to see you. I have seen you, but you know, I haven't seen you on camera in a long time. It's so good to see you. Are you trying to make guitars happen? Please don't do that. Nobody needs that. Oh my God, so good to see you. Happy birthday. I brought you a gift. Okay, it's a vibrator, but it's in the shape of a heart and not a penis, because really, who needs another penis around? So you've always got my heart in your vagina. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope the copyright doesn't sue me. I was going to bring you a vibrator in the shape of a whale, but I'm really worried about those people never letting it go. I mean, they're like a dog with the bone. It's like a whale with a bone over there. Moby Dick following a, it's like a dildo Moby Dick following around a dildo boat for the rest of eternity. You know, Captain Ahab's just trying to get around the boat. One of his legs is a dildo. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thank you very much. It's very beautiful. It did sort of just squirt me a little bit. Oh yeah, I filled it full of Snickers creamer. I don't know if you can. You may think vibrators can't be filled with things. Well, guess what? You're right. They can't be, which is why I learned my lesson the hard way. Okay.
You know what I wouldn't let myself buy? Snickers coffee.
Where'd you find it?
Snickers flavored coffee. I don't know. It was in the store. I saw it in the store.
It was like a YooHoo kind of thing.
No, it was a brew coffee. you brew it, and I guess it's Snickers flavored, mm-hmm. and then you can put cream in it, and it'll taste like a Snickers. But I was like, I'm not having that unnatural coffee. But then the coffee I get, I looked, and it's not natural either. It said natural and unnatural. Well, it doesn't say unnatural flavors, but what does it say? Something. So I think everything we eat is crap anyway, so I might as well get a Snickers coffee.
Yeah. Live a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So
anyway, thanks to the dildo, because normally I just use my travel toothbrush.
We're learning a lot. We're learning a lot right now.
What do you do when you use your electric tooth? Do you take the head of it off, and then you let the other thing vibrate?
I assume that you just have like the base, and you sort of just put it. You do some frottage with it, but I don't know. That's for Jen Fester to tell us.
Isn't that cheese?
You know, I don't want to ask. No, fromage is cheese. Frottage, wow. I think, is like the rubbing. I feel like what's going to happen is, if we go down this path, people are going to be like, it was on the after show. Didn't you watch the after show? So I'm like, you just know this was on the after show, right? It had to have been.
I basically found myself with my electric toothbrush because I don't want to bring anything too big. Marge's like, oh, okay, you know, and then what, you brush your teeth with it? That's it's kind of gross, but you do you. She's like, what, it's all my body. Okay. So then they sit by the pool to talk, and of course Marge is like, what is this pasta salad? I've hardly had anything to eat today, and I'm gonna hardly have anything to eat right now. I cannot wait for these three bow tie pastas lathered in mayonnaise. This is gonna be delicious.
Yes. I really this is such a wonderful plate. I have three pieces of bow tie pasta in mayo and then a slice of pineapple. Just delicious. So she's like, oh, well, things are crazy at home. Okay, our pool's finally in. And I just want you to know, it's like, do you know, I looked at my calendar. Do you know when we started my pool? 1987. It's absolutely wild, okay? I feel like I'm over my head with so many things. Luckily, we have a pool now, so when I'm over my head, I'm literally doing a dive. And Joe's like clapping, and I'm like, Joe, stop clapping. Change your shirt, okay?
Well, it's not news. Ever since I've met you, you're in over your head. You just work, work, work. Go, 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 go. No time for the guitar. Am I right? I mean, we really could be like Taylor Swift and Dolly Parton, two of us. I mean, they're not really a team, but still. I'll bet one of them at least jerks off with a toothbrush, so there's that.
She goes, yeah, ever since the day I met you, you've always had too much on your plate. Literally, they have three pieces of like food on their plates right now.
I love that they're cracking up at their plates.
Yeah, they're like holding up really just like empty plates right now, talking about how there's so much on their plate.
You know what? My life is go, 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 go. And Joe, finish the pool. Joe, Jesus Christ, Joe. You know, it's my whole life. I never have a chance to just sit and think of like, what's going on? And so now I have to ask myself, Marge, what's going on? I don't know. I don't even know.
You know, Brett, my stepson, you know, he got married, right? He's getting married. Okay, it's just great. But, you know, Jan's not going to be at the wedding because he died. And then we weren't even, like, we know, look, I always said about Jan, we weren't a great couple, but we always were like a great family. So for me to not see him, and so now she starts to get choked up, and she starts talking about how Jan died. Jan was her ex, but who we saw over the years, they would always like hang out and talk and everything, and they were great friends. And she's saying how she just really has only started to process his death right now and start the grieving process. And she's like really like upset. Like she has things that she would normally talk to him about or work through with him, and he's not there anymore for her. So she's, you know, struggling.
Yeah, it's really hard. All right, let's talk about what a bitch Teresa is. Let's do that now. So Marge is like, you know what? Let's do a birthday dinner. Okay, what do you think of that? She goes, oh, I like that. That'll be nice. That'll be fun. I can pull out the guitar and play Amazing Grace. I'll sweep the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Love that song. It's a great song. It's gonna be a hit. I have a good feeling about it.
Or you could not pull out the guitar, and then we could do everything the exact same way. So let's do that instead. I think no guitar. Just Jen Fessler on her own.
Could you pull out the sitar? That's like a guitar, but you play it there, and I sit over there. I sit far from the guitar. The
sit. Can you pull out just a DVD copy of Tar? I just haven't seen it yet.
You know what? I just saw it on my phone. It's not only men. It's good to know. It's good to know. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. Thank you so much for listening to this. Come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We want to hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.